Thank you so much for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you on Sports Byline, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Courtesy of Ectio Shoes, we're quite happy to bring back once again Rick Barry, a guy who I've had on a few times and a guy who I grew up watching as a lifetime Warrior fan. And Rick, the first things first, when Brian Scalabrine was quote-unquote demoted to the D-League in Santa Cruz, the first thing I thought of was when you said the last two times on my show that you didn't understand why he was the big man coach and not Clifford Ray. Do you think that had anything to do with it? Was that he couldn't handle the big men, or you think it was something else?
I really don't know what was going on there. I do know that I don't think he was a great choice. It's nothing against him personally, but you know, this is not a guy that's a low post kind of guy. When he played the game, he used to shoot 3-point shots most of the time, and I just didn't feel it was a good hire. And obviously, it turned out that it didn't work out so well for them, and that's unfortunate because I really do think Clifford would have been great for them, would have helped them with their inside game, which I think would give them a better opportunity to advance further in the playoffs, because if there's one weakness in the Warriors' game right now, it is the ability to score the ball, you know, inside and have players play a little bit better at that position. And everywhere that Clifford's been, there's a litany of of great success of the players that he's worked with.
Well, and after Scalabrine was demoted, we had Darren Erman, another assistant coach, who was flat-out fired. He's now with the Celtics, helping them with personnel issues. Apparently the reports are that he was recording a meeting secretly and was caught. We know that there's been reports that Mark Jackson doesn't like Jerry West hanging around at practice. Do you think these things sort of get compounded by the media and we make a big deal out of them, or do you think that there's smoke, there's fire, that maybe there's something dysfunctional going on there?
Well, it seems to me like there's a little smoke, and like you say, when there's smoke, there is some fire. There's obviously some things going on. These things don't just come out of the woodwork and, you know, people start making stuff up. There has to be something behind it. Somebody hears something from someone else and then it gets leaked out. But there obviously are some issues there that need to be resolved, and it's unfortunate because it does detract a little bit, you know, from the team. And the team has been playing well and successful, and you know, last night they, you know, I don't know how they won the game last night, shooting the way that they shot the ball and having some of their guys not having that great a game. So they were very fortunate to be able to force a Game 7. You know, now we'll see what happens when they get a chance to see if they can stay alive.
Yeah, Game 7 tomorrow night in L.A. And the thing about Mark, because now you got Joe Lacob saying, you know, a guy you know very well, saying, listen, we haven't decided anything. This is all in the media about him maybe getting fired, maybe going to the Lakers because he lives in L.A., maybe going to the Knicks because he's a New York guy as well. But this is a results-oriented league, as you know, and maybe he doesn't do the X's and O's. If you saw him on TV last night twice, he was basically giving motivational speeches during timeouts. He wasn't talking about X's and O's and things like that. But if you look at the results, 51 wins, a Warrior play, a team that's played defense for the first time since you were on the team, and also the most road wins in team history. So if you look at the results, it's hard to argue with those, Rick.
Yeah, it is. The only thing that's probably a little disturbing if you look at it is that they didn't have as good a record at home as you would have thought they would have had with the great crowds that they have. I think they had a really good road record. So, you know, these things, it's always kind of interesting. It's always really interesting when you look at things like this and try to figure out what the heck's happening. But if you're not there on a daily basis and you really understand what's happening, just like when people ask me about, you know, how good a coach is this guy? So I don't know because I didn't play for him. If you don't play for a guy and you're not in that huddle, mm-hmm. hearing what he says during timeouts and how he's adjusting to the game situations, you're not at practice and seeing what's taking place there, it's very difficult to get a really true assessment of how good a coach someone really might be.
Rick Tittle with Rick Barry. And just, well, I'll ask you this. With your coaching acumen, and if you had gotten to a point where, I remember for a while there, there were some people saying, hey, let's get Rick to be the Warriors coach. Is there sort of a way that you would approach it that would be different? Because I know for a lot of people, I mean, you're one of the 50 greatest players of all time. And you think about, would you be able to handle teaching something that came quite easily to you that might be a lot harder for some of these guys, and especially with the free throws? Some guys are shooting 60% or less, which is amazing to me that it's that low. How would you have approached it more or less if you were the head coach, Rick?
Well, first of all, I think you have to earn the respect of the players. certainly they're going to listen to you because, in my case, because of what I was able to accomplish. But you still have to earn their respect. And communication is such a big thing in all walks of life between parents and children and teachers and students and bosses and employees. I mean, it just goes, runs the gamut. And you have to be honest and truthful with people. I mean, there's so much BS that goes on in this world. And you know, like I told my guys when I did it in the minor leagues, I said, look, do I care about you as a person? Sure, I do. But I care more about this team. And the reason that I want to try to make you a better basketball player is a selfish reason, because I want to make this a better basketball team. Because if I don't make this a better basketball team, I'm not going to have a job. It's not going to be as much fun for me. It's not going to be as much fun for you. It's not going to be fun for the fans. And so if you have a problem, you come to me, you talk to me. I don't want to read about it in the newspaper. If I have a problem with you, I'm going to talk to you about it and be open and honest about it. I mean, I know for a situation, I give you a great example. One of my sons who was playing ball for one of the teams that he was on was doing exceptionally well, coming off the bench and doing a really nice job. Then he all of a sudden went, I think, 9 or 10 games in a row without playing. And so I asked, what did they say to you? He said not one person from the staff or the organization ever said a word to him about the fact that all of a sudden, from playing 18 minutes a game, you go to playing no minutes a game, and nobody tells you why. Mm. See, that's just crazy. Because, you know, you need to let players know. I know if I had a guy that was playing a lot and for some reason the game situation went and I didn't use him, right after the game I would go up to him and say, hey, don't worry about the fact that you didn't play that. I know you're not happy about it. I said, but I just thought the matchups and the way things are going, I needed to do something. There's no problem. Nothing's wrong. I'm not upset with you. This way, the guy might not be happy with me that I didn't play him, but at least he's not going to go home and have his mind trying to configure, you know, trying to think about, oh, God, what the heck's going on? What did I do wrong? Blah, blah, blah. You got to communicate. And that's what I would do, is I would have open communication, and I would try to get the guys to understand that what we're trying to get them to do as a team is in the best interest of the team. And yeah, sometimes you got to sacrifice. You know, you tell guys, put your egos in the closet for the season, guys. It's not about you. It's about the team.
Yeah, and I think that communication, I mean, I saw that firsthand here with the Oakland A's when Bob Melvin came in and just told people when they're playing and not. And as a professional athlete, or heck, even on a high school team, you're not going to like it being on the bench. But I think a lot of athletes, when you tell them, I'm playing this guy because he's just flat out playing better than you, most of them would say, coach, you're right.
Yeah, well, you have to be that way. And same thing, like you see happen in the game so many times, I always was dismayed by this. The starters are stinking up the gym. So all of a sudden you put the reserve guys in. The reserve guys get you back in the game. They're playing great. Halftime comes up. And the starters go out and play the start of the third quarter. No. I start the third quarter. I'm starting the third quarter with the guys that got us back in the game. And I'm telling my starters, look, you guys need to be ready to do exactly what they did for you. Mm-hmm. If they falter, you need to go back in and take care of business just like they did, because they saved our butts. And those guys deserve the opportunity to go out and play it again to see if they can continue to do what they were doing. But how many times do you see that happen? Very rarely.
Do you think that, and like I said, it's hard to put you in this position, but I happen to think that, I don't know, you know, if Lacob's made up his mind one way or the other, whether Mark Jackson and the Warriors win in L.A. tomorrow. I have a strong feeling the Warriors are going to lose that game. I hope I'm wrong about that. But do you think that their expectations are too high? Because when you look at that team personnel-wise and some of the injuries they've had, I happen to think that they've milked more out of that team than I thought. You're right about they didn't make a fortress out of their house. But, I mean, death and taxes and the Warriors lose on the road. I grew up with that, and they were able to win on the road. Do you think it would be premature to just say, hey, listen, you didn't get through the first round, so you're gone?
Well, first of all, I think there would be more to it than that. I mean, I don't think that it would be a situation where you could justify that the team didn't play well, because obviously they've done a terrific job considering the injuries and what's happening, even in this series with Bogut being out. There's more to it, and you can't deny a man or men who have put up hundreds of millions of dollars for a team to tell them that they don't have the right to have whoever they want coaching that basketball team. Mm-hmm. And there always has to be a good relationship going on. So, you know, from everything that I'm hearing from people and reading about, there seems to, though, that there's a strained relationship that's taking place there. And if that's the case, the owners may very well make a decision to bring somebody else in who they think can do as good a job, if not better, but have someone that they can have a relationship with that's more appealing to them.